This is Soliloquy, the ramblings of a madwoman with a soothing voice.
It is 2:38 a.m., and here I am, yet again with you, darling. You and I sharing an early morning affair. How are you doing? I'm always blathering on about myself, but what about you? I think of you often. You, the silent other half of my conversation. I wonder who you are and what you're like. What makes you tick? What makes you human? What dirty little secrets have you nestled in your brain, growing and throbbing until it erupts into a full-blown aneurysm? What are you afraid of? Do you quickly answer nothing? Your reply sitting at the tip of your tongue before I can even finish my interrogative. Or does something shamble from the vault where you bury all the things you don't want to think about, reanimated into an inconvenient spot in the forefront of your mind, henceforth ruining your day? That was not the intent, and if I have, I am sorry. I'm merely curious about you. Have you ever been studied like that? Inquisitive eyes, taking in your every movement, your scent, your insecurities, your passions. It is not a glare, nor the dead-eyed stare of an idiot child, smearing its sticky face across the glass of a monkey enclosure, disappointed they didn't have the good fortune of witnessing Gibbons tossing shit. No. This is a state of someone engrossed with who you are as a person. Have you ever been looked at like that? I feel like it must be unnerving to be gazed at like that. Or maybe it's flattering. Do you wonder how I imagine you? Do I assume you male, female, both, neither? The possibilities are endless on who or what I could be talking to. How did we start having this dialogue of me unloading whatever contorted thoughts I have in the vast void of the internet, only to have the blind luck of me finding you and vice versa? Do you listen because you suffer from the same ailments? Have you stumbled into my domain by accident and have lingered out of politeness? Are you bored? Boredom is a dangerous thing, isn't it? When I was a kid and boredom inflicted us, when my sister and I would play with knives and fire. How did you grow up? Privileged and blissfully unaware until reality kicked you in the genitals? Was it a nightmare you're still trying to escape from? Tepid and uneventful? I am paralyzed and in awe of the possibility of you. Do you ever feel excited about that? I do. It's usually leading into something manic that somersaults into an impressive low. Do you get sick? Do you wake hurting physically or mentally? Does your sickness make you feel isolated? Lonely? Well, now I'm here. I am enjoying the companionship you offer on the other side. Your anonymous visits to keep me from talking to myself. It's a special kind of relationship. I can't say this is perfect or permanent, but for now, until you outgrow me or I you, we are here, united under a banner of psychological issues and unresolved trauma. We go out into the world ready for battle, you a knight fighting through your morning commute, and I can be the jester entertaining you with my weak impression of a rallying cry. Do I make you smile? I wonder what you look like when you're happiest. Happiness is a wonderful thing, but it's boring. Without conflict, there are no stories. What do you look like angry? Betrayed? Beauty can only go so far before it becomes a cheap novelty. You know the things I talk about? The ones that go bump in the night? The things that are a side effect of an untreated affliction? Do you see them too? Do they touch you? Do you occasionally ask delicately worded questions to make sure what you are seeing is real without tipping off your in-laws you're off your meds again? You know, if you can help it, you really shouldn't go off them, even if you're feeling fine. After all, the scariest thing about being crazy is not being able to realize you are. That clarity and certainty you wish you had in your everyday life, and not just when you've breezed by a mental breakdown and into a full-blown psychotic episode. No, maybe I'm just projecting. onto that blank canvas that I'm painting in what I have decided is your image. How intrusive of me. You know, we really should talk like this more often. I'm not sure when. Maybe next month? Maybe next year? Let's let this happen naturally and see where I blindly lead us. For now, we are done until you bless me with yet another visit. I'm trapped in my own shoujo manga nightmare. In my mind, I'm fighting this grand, magnificent battle of willpower against a scaly, blue, reptilian, sucky bitch. It sounds like an amazing premise as an actual Shonen Jump-esque series, or even a breezy slice of life, but it's not. It's a fucking horror. Some days, I have to fight the urge to gouge out my own eyes because that makes perfect sense. But I'm hosting dinner tonight, and it would embarrass my husband and be so rude to my guest. I'm thinking of excuses not to take a melon baller to the face. It isn't a normal thought of mine. Not even frequent enough to be uncommon, it just happens, you know? With perfect clarity, I can come up with a very clear plan to dispatch myself. And why not seems just fair enough of an argument to justify clawing out my own eyes. You know, I don't care for cream or sugar in my coffee. That's not to say I don't appreciate it and occasionally indulge in a mocha choco bullshit from Star Schmucks. Once in a blue moon, PMS does that shit to people. I don't need to justify my sugar intake with my uterus, I just choose to. Back to whatever aimless point I was attempting to make. I think coffee does things to people. A drug that makes you able to choke a smile into place while you have to share the same air with that fuckhead. You know the one. That coworker who unfortunately hasn't won a date with death. He has two kids, that you know, but you're positive there are tons of them across the Tri-City area. I would say across the state, but we both know he's not well-rounded enough to broaden his meager view of the world, let alone the interstate. And now they're just out there, procreating, and spreading his awful face and low IQ. You don't hate this person, but maybe they don't matter. You implore whatever deity will give you the tenacity to not do what a kinder god should have done, while you watch that prick nap on the job for the umpteenth time this goddamned month. Each time you see that fucker napping, it takes immense willpower to avoid taking that ortho pillow that waste of sperm and egg needed so fucking badly, and accidentally holding it over their face till they're put out of everyone else's misery. Do normal people think like that? It frightens me, because I don't think they do. A tiny voice in the back of my head says, "We all think like that. Some of you all just bury it so deep, you can pretend that you're just and could never muster thoughts like that. Deep down, you're putrid, noxious vermin misrepresenting yourself as human, especially with ideas like that about your coworkers. It's okay, sweetheart. I won't tell anyone. It'll be a dirty little secret we share, a thread that binds us all closer without your consent." Either way, I have thoughts of that in nature far more frequently. My winsome theories and hypotheticals, some so quick I get several in an hour, some I have to mull over for days. For a hulking, writhing mass that is one thought, it's too complex to dissect so easily. People look at me strange when I tell them. It makes me unhappy. A strange mix of pity and fear. So I don't tell people anymore. My riddles, my speculations. No, I smile. I smile just like a good girl. A doting wife. Maybe a mother one day.
No, fuck that. I plan on keeping cats.
Kids are always sticky for some reason. I'm great with them, unfortunately. There I go, off on another strange tangent. I can't help it. I'm sorry. That's what you're supposed to say, right? Sometimes I forget my lines. Just like I almost forgot about mutilating myself. I would rather not. Honestly, I'm really starting to think I might not be okay. "I only want you to know my voice. Is that okay? The sound nibbling your ears or biting so hard you feel as if I'd pierce the lobe. That one night stand you keep coming back to. That deep, breathless intertwine that is not real, but we play pretend. I want you to love it. The noise and all the sensations that come with it. It is not me, but it is very much in the same way I want to love you. I want us to love each other's presence. We don't know each other outside of the moments we are connected. Not mundanely with flesh and bone, but with that sound. Wiggling air connecting to your ears. Perfectly intimate strangers. Isn't that a beautiful thought? I've done and said things I'm not proud of. We all have. Plus, the real version of anything seldom lives up to what you've painted in that imagination of yours. Can't we keep this pure, ideal, immaculate even, without tainting it with who, with what we really are? Just a bit of something to think about as you remove your earbuds or press stop to silence me. It is the equivalent of you rolling out of the bed we've shared and heading to the door. I'm not sure if you're satisfied. I'm not sure if you'll return. I'm uncertain of all of this, of us, yet here I am. So, dearest, I leave you to start your day or to slumber, and I'll be here, waiting for our next vaguely anonymous rendezvous. All you have to do is press play.